turn to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 26. We're looking at some biblical illustrations of worship. There are many in the Word of God. We're only going to look at a few and then close out this series in a couple weeks. But we've already looked at Abraham and Isaac as an illustration of true worship. And as we look at these illustrations, if you can remember what we've said thus far concerning worship, you see those characteristics in all of these examples. In Deuteronomy 26, we'll want to look at the first 11 verses. We're not going to read them right now for time's sake, but in this passage, Moses exhorts the people to offer unto God their first fruits. They were to do this in remembrance and thanksgiving for the inheritance of the land. And the procedure here reveals that worship, and again, this is an illustration of worship, it reveals that worship is something presented by man unto God. It is a willing acknowledgement of thanks for who God is, for what God has done. We want to look at 10 characteristics of worship, and the first point will have 6 subpoints under that, but we want to consider 10 characteristics. Again, we're not going to spend a lot of time on any of them, but we get the idea here. We see, first of all, there was preparation. Notice in verses 1 and verse 2, "And it shall be, when thou art come into the land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance, and possess it, and dwellest therein, thou shalt take of the first of all the fruit of the earth, which thou shalt bring of thy land that the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shalt put it in a basket, and shalt go unto the place which the Lord thy God shall choose to place his name there." Now notice, the worshiper was to take of the first fruits, or first of all the fruit of the earth. He was then to prepare to bring it to the Lord. It says, "Take the first of all the fruit of the earth, which thou shalt bring." So the taking of the first fruits involves a preparation. To prepare means simply to get ready. Everything was to be done to get ready to bring the first fruit to the place that God had chosen, and to the priest, so that he would present it to the Lord. So in this instruction, here in verse 2, there is a getting ready, there is a making ready to bring the first fruit unto the Lord. Again, this preparation, anytime you prepare, preparation implies, of course, that there is intent and that there is a purpose. And we are to prepare to worship. That is, worship is our intent. Worship is our purpose. Again, this is a reminder, as we've already said, no one worships the Lord accidentally. You don't just accidentally worship the Lord. It requires preparation, intent, and purpose. Now, in this preparation, I want to consider six things, and these things are true all through the worship, but the worship begins with preparation. In this preparation, first of all, God's claims take priority. That's true while we're preparing to worship. That's true as we advance along in worship. God has claims, and those claims take priority. And we see here the first of all the fruit of the earth. That was God's claim. God's claim was, I want the first fruits. We see this throughout the Old Testament. God's claims of the first fruits. And the Israelite, of course, was to bring the first fruits of the Lord, whether it be their firstborn or firstborn son or whatever. They were to bring the first fruits unto God. What this simply is saying is, first God. First God. That's the heading that you could put over the subject of first fruits. First God. And that's true in all worship. God must be the priority. God must be the ultimate. First God. And it begins with the preparation. Again, God is not interested in our leftovers. He is interested in being first and receiving the best that we have. Not that he is in need of the first fruits, but again, it shows that he is to be honored first. And he is to be honored with the very best that we have. This is true through every aspect of worship. First, God. God is the priority. And it begins with the preparation. Now you think about it. The Israelite goes and he gathers that first fruit. And he gathers it together. And we see later here that he puts it in a basket. This is all with the intent and purpose of bringing it to the place that God has chosen to present it to the priest. In taking that first fruit, and in preparing to give it to the Lord, that involves self-denial. He must deny himself in order to give first unto God. We cannot worship, all true worship requires death, requires our own death, requires the death to self. We can't even begin to worship if we do not die to self. And this is a big part of the preparation. There is a denial of self. And of course, that denial of self, because of the nature of self, because of the nature of our flesh, we have to continue to deny self throughout the various aspects of worship. We see also this preparation was made in light of a relationship with God. In verse 2, we twice read the phrase, the Lord thy God. And then that phrase occurs seven more times throughout Deuteronomy 26, verses 1 through 11. The Lord thy God. That speaks of the person of God, the Lord God. But it also speaks of a personal relationship with God. The Lord thy God. And as we prepare to worship, and as the Israelite was preparing to bring his first fruit unto the priest, his focus is upon the Lord God. His focus also is upon the fact that he has a personal relationship with the Lord. You cannot worship God void of a personal relationship with Him. And you cannot truly worship God without a vivid realization of that relationship. And it's who He is and His relationship to us that should cause us to want to prepare to worship and should cause us to want to worship. We see also that the preparation was made in light of the grace and blessings of God. Notice in verse 2 again, thy land that the Lord thy God giveth thee. Remember who it is that gave the first fruits. The Lord God giveth thee. So as the individual was gathering together the first fruits, and as the individual set it aside, putting it in a basket, he no doubt did so with great thoughtfulness. He no doubt did so with great thankfulness in his heart, realizing the Lord has given me this, but it's even more than that. The Lord has given me the land that has produced this. It all goes back to God. In all the preparation of worship, we have to be focused upon the fact that God has been gracious to us and that God has blessed us. And that everything we have comes from God, it all belongs to God, and God is deserving of it all. Not just the first fruits, but God is deserving of it all. We see also in this preparation, there was a setting aside for the Lord. Notice again in verse 2, thou shalt take of the first of all the fruit of the earth. And then it goes on to say, and shalt put it in a basket. So there is the taking of the first fruit, and then there is putting it in a place. When you put something in a specific place, that also implies intent. It implies purpose. You put something in a certain place, you have set it apart from everything else. And this first fruit was to be put in a basket for the intent, for the purpose of bringing it to the place that God has chosen and presenting it to the priest, which of course is a type of Jesus Christ. So in all true worship, and this begins with the preparation, there is a setting apart. This is probably the biggest hindrance to worship today. This setting apart, this coming apart from the world. Most of God's people know nothing about coming apart from the world to worship because they bring the world in with them. And in so doing, they have not come apart from the world. Again, we can get on cell phones. We've already been through all that and all kinds of other things. That's not our intention tonight. But that is a bringing the world into the church. That's not a coming apart from the church and or from the world. And to a very large degree, and again, we've already said all this, but to a very large degree, we have become so entangled in the world that we are no longer able to come apart from the world. And if that's so, I don't believe you can truly worship the Lord. Because true worship is a coming apart. This begins with the preparation. There is a setting aside. Setting aside, and this was done with the first fruit. Also, in this preparation, there is the realization of the importance of what the individual was about to do. When that individual gathered the first of all the fruits of the earth and put it in a basket, He or she did so with a very vivid sense of the seriousness of what they were about to do. A very vivid sense of the significance of what he was doing. And if we're going to truly worship God, we have to have a vivid sense, a vivid consciousness of the seriousness of coming into the presence of the Lord. We have to have a vivid sense of the significance of what we are doing. And I don't think there are very many people who have a vivid sense of the seriousness of coming into the house of God to worship the Lord. But as this individual's gathering this first fruits, I believe there was an overwhelming sense of the sacredness of what he was about to do. And of course, that all begins in the preparation, and it continues throughout the worship. Also in this preparation, there is a spirit of willingness. When he gathered that fruit, when he put it in the basket, he did so willingly. He did so because he desired to do so. And there ought to be a willingness. You remember in Exodus 35, we'll not turn there to save time, but when they were taking up the offering for the construction of the tabernacle, Moses' instruction was that they give of a willing heart. It's not just giving, but it is giving with a willing heart, with a desire to do so. Not only a desire, but it is a thrill to do so. And as you read on there in the book of Exodus, you see that eventually the people had to be told to stop bringing. We've got too much. But the point is, they brought of a willing heart. And when the Israelite would take the first fruit and set it aside and put it in a basket, he was to do so with a spirit of willingness, because he wanted to. Again, there should be no hurry to end the worship service. It ought to be our desire to worship the Lord. I believe, and again, the preachers are at great fault with this, we become very time-oriented in our worship. The reason we do so is because people aren't going to pay much attention after a certain amount of time. And that's pitiful. That's really sad. Because those same people can sit for hours doing other things. But when it comes to worship of God, they start getting restless after a certain amount of time. So there has to be a spirit of willingness. Secondly, the second characteristic, we see that there was a God-appointed place. In verse 2, after he's gathered all of this, preparation has been made. The preparation is for the purpose of going to the place which the Lord thy God shall choose. So preparation is made to go to the place that God has set aside for worship. This special place is spoken of all through the book of Deuteronomy. It's emphasized over and over in the book of Deuteronomy. Specifically in Deuteronomy chapter 12, we read over and over, the place which the Lord thy God shall choose. This is where they were to bring the offerings. We see it in the book of Leviticus as well. So you can't just worship God any place. Well, you can, but there, God has a certain place. And if you disregard that place, you are not in a condition to worship God anywhere else. If you disregard the special place, you're not in a condition. Your spirit is not right. So preparation was made to go to a God-appointed place with the God-appointed offering in the God-appointed way. That's worship. It must, again, first God. It must be God's way. Thirdly, if you're going to go to a place, you have to come apart. You have to leave where you are. So there was a coming apart. We've already seen there's a setting apart, but there is a coming apart in order to go to the God-ordained or God-appointed place. Notice in verse 2, notice the words bring, thou shalt bring. You do not send someone else on your behalf. You do not worship God by proxy. Thou personally shalt bring. And then also in verse 2, the latter part of that verse, after you put it in a basket, and shalt go. Bring and go. That requires a leaving of where you are. And worship requires not just a physical leaving, but it requires a mental leaving, spiritual leaving, an emotional leaving. We have to leave those things. And that's very difficult in the world, in the culture in which we live. We have to leave those things. We put those things out of our mind. We leave them, not just physically. Anybody can do the physical aspect of leaving, but it goes much deeper than that. This is why minds wander to home problems or whatever, because we have a very difficult time leaving. But if we really want to worship, being in the presence of God, we have to leave. And this requires the denial of self. This requires much preparation. So after the coming apart to the God-appointed place, that brings us to the fourth characteristic. There was an approach to the priest. Notice in verse 3, and thou shalt go unto the priest. There is an approach unto the priest. That is, if you go unto the priest, you have now drawn near to the priest. All through the book of Hebrews, we could read several scriptures. We're not going to for time's sake again, but several scriptures. Jesus Christ is our priest. You cannot worship God bypassing Jesus Christ. It's not possible. He is the priest. He is present. We are to draw near to Him. Notice in Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Notice verse 21 and 22. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near. We have a high priest. We are to draw near to that priest. And we are to do so with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from even evil conscience, that is, sin has been dealt with, that takes place in the preparation, and our bodies washed with pure water. That is, there is an inward cleaning, there is an outward cleaning, and then this is all in preparation to draw near unto the priest. This is absolutely essential. The true worship. There has to be a drawing near to Christ. And if you draw near to Christ, you will know about it. You cannot draw near to Christ and not know about it. You draw near to Christ, it's going to change your life. It is going to change your attitude. It is going to change your spirit. It's going to change everything. So many people try to worship God without ever coming to the priest, Jesus Christ, without ever drawing near to the priest, and it cannot be done. You cannot have true worship to the neglect of the priest. So the priest has been approached. It brings us to the fifth characteristic. There was a presenting to the priest. Notice verse 4. And the priest shall take the basket. Remember, back in verse 2, he took the first fruit, put it in the basket, in preparation to go to the place that God has chosen, to go unto the priest, and now to present to the priest, and the priest shall take the basket out of thine hand. Every aspect of worship is a presenting unto God. Every aspect of worship must be unto the Lord. And it must be acceptable to Him. Now the priest would take the basket. That means the one who was holding the basket has to let go. Has to let go. There is no worship if there is not a letting go. Worship is a presentation unto God, which again implies a letting go. 1 Chronicles 16, we see several places in that chapter that we are to give unto God, whether it be honor, thanks, whatever. It is a presentation unto God. It involves a letting go. And again, this begins with the preparation. We will not let go unless we have prepared to let go, unless we have died to self. So the design of presenting the first fruit to the priest is to honor God. That's the whole design of this, is to honor God. And again, this honoring of God, it begins with the preparation. It does not begin when you walk in that door. It begins with the preparation that you make before you walk in that door. And now we see the individuals in the presence of the priest. And he knows he's in the presence of the priest. He can see the priest. And the individual presents to the priest. The priest, again, Christ is our priest. The priest presented that which was brought to him. Notice again in verse 4, the priest took the basket out of the hand, and then notice, and set it down before the altar of the Lord thy God. The only thing acceptable to God is what Jesus Christ presents to him. We must present to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ takes what we have presented, hopefully, and presents it unto God. Because the best that you and I can offer is never enough. It's never good enough. We can never get our heart in a state that is totally acceptable to God. We can't do it. Can't be done. So we have to present it to someone who is Jesus Christ, who is perfect. Because that's the only thing God accepts, is perfection. So you bring what you have, you bring what God has required. You can't just bring the garbage and present it to the priest. He's not going to take it, and he's not going to present it to the Father. He's only going to take that which has been brought in the God-appointed way. And then when he presents it, it is acceptable as if we ourselves have presented it. Sixthly, this coming to the priest and the giving to the priest when the priest took it out of the individual's hand, all of this, of course, requires humility. In verse 5, "And thou shalt speak and say before the Lord thy God, a Syrian ready to perish was my father. And he went down into Egypt and sojourned there with a few, and became there a nation, great, mighty, and populous." Every aspect of worship must be carried out with the realization that we deserve nothing, that we are unworthy of the least of God's mercies. Again, this begins in the preparation, and it is carried on throughout the worship. There is absolutely no place for any kind of pride in the worship of the Lord. None. We must come with a spirit of humility. Seventhly, there was a recollection of God's gracious redemption. Verse 6, "And the Egyptians evil entreated us and afflicted us and laid upon us hard bondage. And when we cried unto the Lord God of our fathers, the Lord heard our voice and looked on our affliction and our labor and our oppression. And the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt with a mighty hand." The Lord brought us forth. In the presentation to the priest, all of this is done with a vivid realization of how God has graciously redeemed us. When we begin to prepare for worship, we need to remember, God has saved my soul. God has brought me out of Egypt. And therefore, I want to prepare to enter into His presence. And as we go on through the worship, we are to always be conscious of the fact that we are redeemed by God, that we belong to God, that God has made a difference in our lives, and therefore we desire to worship Him. And we see this. We see there was a recollection of God's redemption. And I believe that when the Israelite was gathering the first fruit, when he was putting it in a basket, he was thinking of the fact that God has redeemed me. God has redeemed me from Egypt. And this is one of the reasons I'm giving this first fruit unto God, because God is worthy of all. God, we need to realize that we can't just rush into the house of God and come in unprepared. We have to meditate. We have to, throughout the day, we are preparing ourselves. Throughout the week, we are preparing ourselves. That's why it's important to live right. Because you cannot live in sin all week long and then just push a magical button and worship God. It doesn't work that way. It's never worked that way. So this preparation is something we're doing every day. And we do so with a vivid realization that we have been redeemed. But there's also a realization of present grace and mercy in verse 9. "And he hath brought us into this place, the land of Canaan, and hath given us this land, even a land that floweth with milk and honey." We see we're to come into the presence of God. We're to present unto God, realizing that I have been blessed, I have been redeemed, I have been saved, but also realizing surely goodness and mercy follows me all the days of my life, realizing that I am blessed of the God of heaven. Every single day of my life, I am blessed of God. And we are to come into His presence with that upon our minds. We're to be very, very conscious that we are blessed of God. And I realize things can happen in a day that can depress us and get us down. I understand that. But I also know that if you're going to worship God, You're going to have to leave that. You don't drag that in and act like you're entering a torture chamber when you come into the house of God. You cannot worship with that spirit. You come in realizing I'm blessed. I have been blessed and I am being blessed right now. And that's conducive to worship. We see also there was thanksgiving in verse 10. I have brought the first fruits of the land which thou, O Lord, hast given me. Which thou hast given me. We might, again, this is a result of realizing that we are blessed of God and we want to give to God, and everything we give to God is what He has given to us. Everything. Whether it be time, whatever. He deserves it all. He doesn't require it all, but He deserves it all. He deserves everything. And lastly, verse 11, and thou shalt rejoice. This is the end result of true worship. The end result of true worship is joy. We ought to leave worship service. We ought to come in rejoicing. And we ought to go out rejoicing more than we did when we came in. There ought to be a rejoicing. And I believe we can measure our worship. Does it produce rejoicing? Does it produce joy? That being said, in a worship service, you may be confronted with your sin. At that very moment, it is not a time of rejoicing. It is a time of sorrow. But you do what you're supposed to do with that sin, and you'll have rejoicing. There'll be rejoicing. When you do it God's way, the end result will be joy. And all worship should be carried out in this joy. It ought to just be increasing as we go through every aspect of worship. The joy within. So this is just another example. We see many of the characteristics of worship. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in a verse of song.